This account is given in the 15th chapter of Luke, the one I want to look at anyway. We can look at this on the surface, or we can allow God to get down to where each one of us lives. You all are very familiar with this passage pertaining to the prodigal son. The younger of the two sons said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey unto a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father is killed, the fatted calf, because he received him safe and sound." And he was angry. It would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answered and said unto his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son has come, thou hast devoted thy living with, who has devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. A lot of us won't be able to understand in the full depths of what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, but I trust that the Holy Spirit will break it upon our hearts. There's two spirits that are revealed here, the elder son and the father. It brings it right down to where each one of us live. Do we have a father's heart? Or do we have the heart of the elder son? See, there was a tremendous difference between the two. There's a tremendous difference how oftentimes we treat one another. One that has stumbled. One that maybe doesn't measure up to what we think they are. Do we treat them as a father? Or do we put them in kind of a box and define them as the older son did? How do we treat them? Do we have a father's heart? Now, you say, well, I'm a sister. Still, you need a father's heart. God reveals a father's heart, his heart, how he looks at things. It affects our whole attitude. It affects how we function one with another. Look at the words of the older son. I've been with you all this time. I've kept all your commandments. Just examine my life. You can find no fault. Yet he found fault. He did not have a father's heart. We can be right. We can be in the Father's house and not partake of all that he had, because he's told him, you're with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. It affects how we look at each other. It affects how we look at those that are not as strong as we feel we are, and we might be weaker than they are. Who knows? God alone knows these things. This does not give us a place to compromise the standard. This gives us an attitude of heart. The Father never overlooks sin, but the Father is able to discern true repentance. The Father has a heart of love. Listen to what he said. Your brother was lost. Now he's back. He's dead, but now he's alive. We need to rejoice with those that are found. There needs to be an attitude in our hearts of this working. The only thing that is going to last the test of time is that attitude of a father's heart. Let me read for you out of the Phillips, a particular passage that also affects our attitudes. It's found over in Romans 12. Let me begin to read at the 9th verse. Let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have a genuine hate for evil and a real devotion to good. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, and let us keep the fire of the Spirit burning. As we do our work for the Lord, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintaining the habit of prayer, that connection between you and God. Because if you don't, something's going to slip in. And I would venture to say, it's going to be the older brother's attitude and spirit. When the trial comes, endure them patiently, steadfastly maintaining and maintain the habit of prayer. Give freely to fellow Christians in want, never grudging a meal or a bed to those that need them. And as far as those who tried to make your life a misery, bless them. Don't curse. Bless. Share the happiness of those that are happy, the sorrow of those who are sad. Live in harmony with each other. Don't become snobbish. but take a real interest in ordinary people, or the common people. And that's where we all should be, right? All of us should be the common people. None of us are over others. If you want to see that, well, you can see it as it's brought into the system that is around us. But God has never made one man over another. We all in the family of God are brothers and sisters. People today want recognition, but we are brothers and sisters, and we need to recognize that. Don't become set in your own opinions. Don't pay back bad turns for a bad turn to anyone. See, your public behavior is above criticism. You say, well, all I have to please is those that love the Lord. No, I didn't want to say it. See that your public behavior outside is above criticism. As far as your responsibility goes, live in peace with everyone. Come on. I'm only obligated here. Uh-huh. It says live in peace with everyone. Remember, we're here as light and salt. As I say, some of us, this may slip over the top of our head, but this is the whole basis. In other words, if we have the Spirit of Christ, we have the Spirit of the Father, it's going to make a difference in our whole attitude and our behavior in every circumstances, outside and inside of the working of the body of Christ. As far as your responsibility goes, live in peace with everyone. Some of us could care less about that. You didn't see the older son scanning the horizon. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't looking. He was out in the field working. But you say, that's a good testimony. But the father saw. Because he was the father. He saw his son trusting. The one that was dead now is alive. It was lost and it's now found. He saw him. Did he wait for him to come? Did he put him under discipline? Come on, you've got to understand that only the Spirit of God can give us understanding in these areas. He ran out to meet him. He ran out to meet him. Oh God, give us a father's heart. Give us understanding. Not a heart to compromise. Do you know the difference between a heart of a father and a heart that compromises to receive somebody? Because the father did not compromise. God never compromises. Unless we're in the Spirit of God, we're either going to compromise or we're going to have a father's heart to embrace, to discern. We're not going by facts. We're not a jury that's adding up the do's and the don'ts and what they've done and what they haven't done. Because we would declare that young boy guilty. And if we measured all of what was then said in this account, we would say that the older son was blameless. But it's just the reverse. But God's trying to show us something through this account. He's trying to show us what He wants us to have. A father's heart. A father's heart. Let me go ahead and Father and read this. Never take vengeance until your own hands. Oh, this is a tremendous area. Never take vengeance into your own hands. My dear friends, stand back. Let God punish, if he will. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And as it is also written, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Not your brothers and sisters, your enemy. Sometimes we do something we feel that we have really gone out all the way. But how many of us go get our enemy and feed him? But you can see what I'm saying. You can see what the Word of God is telling us here. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in no doing thou hast heaped, in so doing thou hast heaped coals of fire upon his head. Don't allow yourself to be overpowered by evil. Take the offensive. Overpower evil with good. There's so much to be said here, so much to be understood. And you really have to stay before God to fully understand this, because I'm afraid that most of us have more of a lawyer spirit than a father's heart. We've got to prove the case. You don't find the father proving the case. Is he fair, the father? Always. Does he know what he's doing? Is he moving with purpose? Yes, he is. More than you realize. Because see, a father's heart looks farther than an older son can even see. He does not have the understanding. He cannot grasp the true meaning of life. Father does. More than we realize. That's why I say it'll be hard for some of us to understand this. Only God can give us a father's heart. I don't want to read anything in this, but I'm sure that this father had wept before God many a night before he ever laid his head on the pillow to sleep. Many things we can learn. But we can only learn them if we're open to the Spirit of God. Because it goes against everything that our natural mind says. Everything that we've been taught. Because we think we have been taught right. We have all of the facts. But you'll see that God will judge us according to the Spirit with which we live. So important, beloved, this morning, that we have a father's heart. Those of you that have sons, are you dealing with your sons as a father in this respect? Are you dealing with them as a lawyer? Very important that we really find out what this is all about, because this affects the whole way that we move. Just like I've read over there in Romans. Because that's an attitude of heart also. To bless those that are your enemies. Those that are hungry, you feed them. Those that are thirsty, that you give them to drink. Be surprised how it would clear our vision. How we look at each other. How we look at others. Those that we condemn. Where are they at? Do you really know? Are they down in the pig pen? Are they an hour away from saying in their hearts, in my father's house, the servants eat better than I do? See, we don't know. We must be in touch with the Spirit of God. But most of all, this morning what I'm saying is, we need to have a father's heart. And beloved, I know that that will take a miracle on each one of our parts. A dealing with God, to have a father's heart, to deal with those that we come in contact with, a father's heart. I know we don't see the full impact of this. And I will have to agree with you. I don't see the fullness of it either. I haven't come to the end, neither have you. But beloved, what I see this morning and what I see along the way is that we'll never make it with an older brother's heart. I don't care how right we are, we must have a father's heart. We must have that concern. We must have a heart of forgiveness. We must overcome evil with good. That doesn't mean you're going to destroy it, but overcome it. Come up over it with what? With good, with blessings. Now, don't tell me that's easy. You can say here this morning, well, we're Christians, we can do that. You can do it until you come and you confront it, and you'll find out it's not as easy as you think. But that's the only way. That's the only way of freedom. Those that are your enemies, bless them. Does that mean you go and compromise with them? Or you compromise with your standard that God has built in you? If I might take you back to an old story that I know it's old because we've heard it so many times. But I was drawn to it for the last couple of weeks. And I've read it a number of times in that period of time, even though I've met it many times before. Over there in the book of Daniel, three Hebrew children. The king had selected the best. And he gave them the best as far as eating at his table. Now, these three men, and we could liken each one of us that have his life as far advanced than these three men. These men did not have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. But these men had something that had been worked in them that they weren't going to compromise. And beloved, in this hour, do we need... I mean, this may be just the other side of the apple that we're looking at. But still most important. You can throw us into the fire. But we're not going to bow down. Maybe I need to get counseling. From who? At this point, if you're not prepared, it's too late. You don't find these people here. They had something that was worked in them. These were young men. This was the prize of the whole crop of Israel. But when you look deeper into it, you'll see that these men had something. Not only did they have a faith in their God, that they knew that they could take and eat of just the vegetables. They didn't have to eat from the king's table. You could say, and what he said there, even though it's vegetables and stuff, but you could get bread and water. That's all they said. Just give us bread and water. And God will show you that what we eat here is better than those that are eating from the king's table. They had a faith in God. That what God was going to do was going to uphold them. If there's anything that we're lacking in this hour, it's conviction. And beloved, you could mix the two that I'm talking about this morning. The father's heart with conviction. Because God, in Christ Jesus, never compromised in his time here. Did he have a father's heart? You know he did. The father's heart was being revealed day by day. And if you have the life of God, the life of Christ, and you're living His life, you must have a father's heart. And the only way that you're going to have it is get your mind out of the way and get that legal spirit underneath your feet. Because that's what it is. All you have to do, I examine my own self. You must examine yourself. Am I just legal, or do I have a father's heart? And then I come to the place, do I really have convictions? Or am I just carried around by every wind of doctrine? Do I just believe something in my head? Or am I willing to stack my life on it? Come on, these men were not filled with God. But they were willing to stake their life upon Him. What did it do? It brought one like unto the Son of God to walk in the midst of the fire that was seven times hotter than it was. And beloved, let me just say to you, as I read that account again and again and again, they came out, there was no smoke or smell of smoke on their garments. And we go through a little trial, we stink like that trial for months. We like to talk about it, you know, how wonderful we are. that trial didn't even catch the smoke of the fire. They were freed from it. God was in the midst with them, and God will be with us if we only realize that. Two areas this morning. Very quickly. I must have these two areas. I'm saying this for all of us. Saying this for me. I must have full confidence in who I am. In God. And for those of you that are not in God, the only reason you're not there, you don't want to be there. I know that's hard words this morning. But that's exactly because the provisions are there. The promise is yours. The only reason you're not there, you don't want to be there. You don't want to take the time. We're too busy. God's never failed anybody that came to Him. Beloved, God never failed anybody when you come to Him. He's not going to take and give us a snake when we ask Him of the Spirit. He's not going to give us a scorpion. He's not going to give us a stone when we ask Him for bread. We must have convictions of who we are in God. And in that, we have a Father's heart in our dealings with those around about us. Those that are in trouble. Those that have chosen wrong. Do you choose everything right? Do I make every choice perfect? How does my father deal with me? He never compromises, I know that. He never overlooks any of my faults. He always comes to strengthen. He always comes to give me what I did not have. Because see, when I look at myself, there I see the weakness. When I look at Him, I see the strength. Too many of us, beloved, are trying to live our own life for God. You've heard that time and time again, but it's still true. Because when you start living His life, you will be steadfast. And you will have a father's heart. I see these as musts. These are not just something you can take or leave this morning. You can say it sounds good. Beloved, you can't miss these areas. Because if you miss them, you may miss heaven. These are the provisions that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. We can all be self-righteous. And which one of us haven't been caught there? God has always caught us there. Better than this one. Better than that. Haven't done the same thing that they're doing. The saying goes that if you've been forgiven much, you love much. When we know where we came from, there's going to be a love moving in and through our hearts. Glory. I trust that you've taken these words as one that stands on the bow and throws the rope with the weight on the end. Three fathoms. Steady as she goes. Two and a half fathoms. Oh, getting shallow. Do we hear? Can we hear when we hear that two and a half fathoms? Does fear reach into our hearts when we know we're nearing the shore or nearing the rocks? God's always warning us. May you this morning be warned that we can say, as our brother said last week, steady as she goes. We're in safe waters. We're moving with purpose. We're moving with our Father's heart. We're moving with convictions. I know who I am in Christ. Sister Ilianita is going to be operated on tomorrow down in Puerto Rico. Brother Roberto has asked us that we remember in prayer here this morning. Can you pray in faith? I can. Can you pray in faith? This is the way our sister has chosen. Can we stand with her? I ask you, can we stand with her? I want to hear more of an amen than that. Can we stand with her? Can we stand with our brother? Having's going to be down there. Brother Roberto can't be there. I'm sure he would like to be. Brother and sisters, may we bow our hearts before the Father this morning and ask Him to meet the need in our sister's life and be with her as she goes under the knife. Our loving Father, You look to the depths of each one of our hearts and lives. As we remember our sister this morning, Lord, that in a short time, in probably 24 hours, Lord, she will be operated on. Lord, this morning may You bring her safely through this operation. May You build in her heart and let Your presence be known, Lord, to her, that You are her sufficiency. Lord, that You will comfort her in this time. That You will strengthen our brother here as he's here at home. As his heart reaches out to his wife there in Puerto Rico. Lord, be with him. Reveal Yourself, Lord, that You are a God that cares. A God that has paid the price. A God that in the midst of the storm is the calm. Lord, we thank You this morning that we can call upon Your name on the behalf of these loved ones. Be by her side, Lord. Let her know Your peace. Let her know Your strength. Bring her through and let her know that You are a God in the midst of the fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.